Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. What's up, Luca?
Hey Cayman, how are you doing today on this beautiful day?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty chill weekend. Haven't really done too much. I did a little bit of laundry, but that's about it.
So you did some laundry and you kind of hung out?
Yeah. Elena spent the night at a friend's house last night. So just been hanging by myself.
She had a sleepover.
That's because funny. Her and one of her friends from work, they had the same exact shift Saturday and Sunday. So she went to work Saturday and then just went home with her friend. And then they both went to work the next morning.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Eco-friendly right there.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Yeah. I guess I was a little bit more active than you this weekend. What did I do on Friday? Oh, on Friday we went out to Golden, Colorado. And
right.
Basically us and like a few of us, our friends, we hiked up this mountain. Mind you, it was freaking freezing cold with like high winds. But we hiked up this mountain and then we basically like hung out with like blankets and all that stuff. And like we were drinking, just having a good time chatting.
Different mountain than the one we went on?
Yeah, different one. This one is called Lookout Mountain. Okay. And it's because you literally look out over Denver, Colorado. It's really
That's
pretty.
Super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first time I'd been there. So it was an experience, but we were also kind of lured there because we were told that we were trying to watch Mars go behind the moon, but that actually happened the day before.
And oh, damn.
they literally just realized that while we were there. They were like, oh shit, like all these people are here to watch Mars go behind the moon and it's already happened. Like,
yeah.
And then Saturday.
Thinking about doing like astrology stuff because of the night skies here are so clear, but there's also so many trees, so I can usually only see like right above me.
I'm sure there's a spot you could go to see him better. No,
yeah, probably. I'd just have to like research it more.
Yeah, because I remember, I mean, your place is super dark. I mean, that's probably optimal for night stargazing and all that jazz.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that was Friday, and then on Saturday we went skiing with a few of our friends. And then that was a lot of fun. And then after Saturday that night, we came back and we had like a bonfire at a friend's place. And then today I took it a little bit more chill, but I literally just came back from volleyball and having dinner with some friends. So that's really it for today.
Legit.
It was more of like a, we went to like this Chinese place and I had beef lo mein.
Nice.
It was decent though. It was decent. Like I've had okay. better in my opinion. Okay. But, you know, it's always good. But yeah, I also, you know, to kind of tie into one of the last past podcasts about work,
yeah.
I let my bosses know that I am quitting or resigning, I should say, from the firm that I currently work at.
Right.
And I kind of got fucked over today because of that. I told them on Friday and we agreed, me and the two principals agreed on a day, which was going to be January 11th.
Okay.
For me to have my last day. And I get an email today and it basically said like, hey, we talked to HR and your last day is going to be the 23rd of December.
That's like 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. That's literally, they were like, well, from when you told us 2 weeks from then is your last day, which is legal for them to do.
Right.
The only reason is that I told them earlier than like January is because I was trying to give them like professional courtesy of like me knowing they're trying to staff projects. And if they put my name down and I know like deep down that I won't be here, it's kind of fucked for them and the team.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be professional and I hope that they like be professional back.
Oh, well,
but it seems that I got the short end of the stick again. So
I guess they were like, well, if you're not going to like finish any of the projects, we don't want you starting any of them and we're not going to pay you to just hang around. So,
well, yeah, but like one of the projects that I'm on, there's a 65% CD set due on the 15th. Which is why I was trying to stay for like those extra 11 days to help that push.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't want it. And now I don't get holiday pay. So I, you know, kind of just sucks. It just sucks.
Well, you do get a, I guess that the whole week after Christmas off. So there's that at least.
No, yeah, that's true. That's true. But I'm just going to connect with my next new job and basically ask to, you know, have my start date set earlier.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Not a big deal. Well, I mean, kind of is, but it's just unprofessional, I think, in my opinion. But it is kind of an oh well situation for me.
Also, I think I said astrology earlier. I definitely meant astronomy.
Astronomy. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. I heard that, but I kind of let it slide. I was like, I know what he means.
Yeah, I definitely am not like, oh, wow, I'm a Pisces, which I'm not. Oh, I'm a Leo, but I don't know or care what that means.
What's your rising moon and sun?
Literally no clue.
I can't tell you the amount of times I've been asked that. I'm like, I don't know. Why would I know that?
Right. I'm like, I don't. The moon rises every night. What do you mean?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, that was my spiel.
Cool.
So besides all this fun stuff with, you know, our great weekend and, you know, life stuff that we want to, you know, let the audience kind of have an insight into, I guess, to let them know how, what we're doing, what we're going through as well, to kind of maybe the people can relate. What are we going to be talking about today? Movie wise,
we're going to be talking about a movie from 2002, long ass time ago, 20 whole years, called Reign of Fire. It was directed by Rob Bowman. I'm not really sure how to pronounce his last name, and stars Matthew McConaughey and Christian Bale.
Okay. Okay.
And this movie here had an estimated budget of $60 million and only made about $82 million. So actually was not super successful.
Oh gosh. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts on whether it should have been more successful or if that's about right?
I can't really speak to like the movie going culture of 2002 because I was only like 7 then.
Oh God. Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like
you were older than 7 in 2002.
No, I wasn't.
Oh yeah, you're right. You were 7.
Born in 95. Yeah.
Wow, math. But anyway, yeah. So I guess we can't really speak to that culture. But I mean, I guess back then Blockbuster was a thing, and I'm sure this came out in Blockbuster.
True, but that wouldn't have gotten box office numbers. That's just like, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so is there a movie that we have
more
reviewed
on
that
home sales?
What'd you say?
I said it might have made more money on like DVD sales.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I wonder, is there a movie that we have reviewed already that was kind of in that same year category that we could compare it to?
Other movies in 2002. I actually looked this up yesterday and now I've forgotten.
Like, I wonder if like one of the Ghostbusters was around that time.
The Bourne Identity we did, and that's from 2002.
And I mean, that one had good numbers.
And we haven't reviewed this, but Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets came out in 2002.
Fucking solid.
Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Okay.
Spider-Man, like the first Spider-Man movie came out in 2002.
Which we've talked about and mentioned quite a bit, yeah.
Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones came out in 2002. A lot of twos. Men in Black 2 came out in 2002. Stuart Little 2 came out in 2002.
Oh my God.
It was a year of twos.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, those are pretty big movies that you're mentioning, you know?
Yeah. So I think that's also part of it, is especially with big things like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. I bet a lot of the reason that this movie didn't make that much money is just because there were way bigger movies in theaters. Mm. And so if people are going to the movies and they're trying to choose between Reign of Fire and Lord of the Rings, they're going to go to Lord of the Rings.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely the case. I feel like nowadays there's not really, I don't actually know. Is there a big movie series out right now, kind of like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Harry Potter, even Twilight, I guess you could say?
Not really.
There's nothing like that, right? No.
I don't even think like there's, other than the like occasional Marvel, there's not. I was even checking just the other day because I was bored here by myself. I was like, I don't know, are there any good movies out? I checked, and the only thing that I would even almost be interested in is the new Black Panther is still in theaters, but I've already seen that. Every other movie that's in theaters right now, I'm like, meh.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, that's not good for the movie industry. I wonder why that is. Do you think that relates back to like the COVID era still kind of going on?
I suppose it's possible. I think, I don't know. I feel like a lot of studios are focusing on streaming.
Yeah, true.
So like there's always new stuff like being released on different streaming networks. And yeah. Sometimes they get a theatrical release and sometimes they don't.
I get that. I actually just thought of a movie series where they're still going and there's going to be another one coming out. I don't know exactly when, but Pirates of the Caribbean is one of them, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't even remember when the last Pirates movie was.
Yeah, I don't know when the last one was, but I know that apparently Johnny Depp is back in for the newer Pirates of the Caribbean. And then Amber, again, she is like re-suing him or something like that.
I don't know. I stopped after I only watched the first three. And I think I saw like maybe half of the fourth one.
You just didn't like it or what?
Yeah, it didn't seem interesting to me anymore. They were like introducing new characters and like a lot of the stuff that was interesting about the first three. And honestly, even three was kind of pushing it. Like three is the third one is a decent movie, but I'd say one and two are probably the only Pirates movies that I would call good movies.
I can see that. I just have like, I have sentiment towards like when the series first starts.
Yeah.
Like in my opinion, even the first Harry Potter movie is the better one out of all eight of movies that came out.
Oh, I completely agree. But I don't, for me with Harry Potter, it's more of not so much like a sentimental thing, but just I feel, and I've probably talked about this a million times before. I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast, but I've definitely said it in person.
Yeah.
But the first Harry Potter movie just feels more magical.
I agree. And it's also because like everyone in that movie was actually getting used to each other. So while the set was going on, while the filming was going on, they were actively trying to become like this family, and whatever was happening in the movie, like them meeting each other, it was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really adds into it. Alongside, I think that because it was new and everyone like, you know, didn't have any expectations, it kind of adds into like that magical feel of like, hey, like we want to do the best job we can with this.
And I also just think like, obviously it makes sense because, and it works when you like, when you're growing up with the series and you're like the same age as the kids in the movie, like, you feel it because like, especially like early teenage years and like when, as people are getting older and into that part of their life, like, I don't know. I feel like for most people, things tend to get a little darker. And I feel like most movie franchises that are aimed at young adults tend to have a sort of darker tone like that, because that's what young adults are into. But
yeah,
looking back on it now, I feel like I have nothing against the later Harry Potter movies. I think they're all good, and like Voldemort and all that stuff, hurrah, it's good. But I don't know, I feel like just starting with this wondrous world where everything is like, ooh, we have stupid flavored jelly beans and look, you can magically fix your glasses and random stuff like that, and then four movies later it's like everyone's gonna die. I'm like, okay, right. Well, that's a little dark.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of hint at that in every movie, I feel like.
Yeah, but it becomes more of the focus towards the end.
Yeah. Like, the first movie was really set out on basically painting this giant picture of what the school is, what the school is about, and all of, like, the characters that are in it.
Yeah.
And then, there's going to be, like, these events happening where they have to team up and band up and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I mean, I think that also it kind of adds into it because I was at that younger age at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And with my imagination and me having read like all the books and all that stuff, me having been at that age and also watched that movie, I think like the magicalness also came from my eagerness of wanting to see it in real life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not talking about Harry Potter today, although we totally could.
No. let's get back on track here. So with Reign of Fire, I believe it is time for us to step into the boxing ring. All right. I think I went first last time, or did you go first last
time?
No,
I think I went first.
No, you went first last time. You're right. Mm-hmm. I remember. So I'll go first this time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say in the near future, a young boy, discovers a something dangerous underground, and it's a dragon, and then the dragons take over the world, and a group of survivors fight to live on through the end of the world. I don't know. That's it.
All right. I will say, after a young boy crawls into a cave underground, discovers a dragon's lair, and accidentally awakens it, and it escapes. Many years later, that boy, having been the only survivor of that town, has the task, or is faced with a task, of saving, keeping his people alive as the dragons rule the world, rule the earth.
Okay.
And then he has to fight them. All right, that's it for me. That's rough. I don't know.
All right, this one says, in post-apocalyptic England, an American volunteer and a British survivor team up to fight off a brood of fire-breathing dragons seeking to return to global dominance after centuries of rest underground. The Brit, leading a clan of survivors to hunt down the King of Dragons, has much at stake. His mother was killed by a dragon, but his love is still alive.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. Well, did you feel like this was more of a love story? I guess there was like a tiny bit of that in there, but I don't know.
I don't think there was a love story anywhere in this.
That last line kind of throws me for a loop a bit. I feel like they were kind of like with the helicopter pilot. They were like, oh, maybe I like you. But like, they never really talked about it. It was just like a thing. And then you see them holding hands at the end, like they're together.
Yeah, I never saw this as like a romance movie at all.
Hmm. Oh, well.
But as for like keywords, I did say like survivor. I like talked about the underground where the dragon was.
Yeah.
Talked about the dragons ruling. I don't think any of us mentioned where.
No, neither of us said England. But I also did say the end of the world.
Okay.
Neither of us mentioned Matthew McConaughey's character. I don't. Or did you?
I didn't by name. No.
Because I didn't mention him at all. So I think.
No, I didn't. I didn't mention Matthew McConaughey. No. In my mind, that was like going way too far into the movie, though.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
that's tough.
It's like the movie was billed with Matthew McConaughey, so I think it like it's not necessarily a spoiler that he's in it, but he doesn't show up until like 30 minutes in.
Right. Shit. I don't know. What are you thinking?
I don't know.
All right. Well, neither of us know, so I would call it a tie.
Do you want to do a tiebreaker?
Let's do that.
Okay. How about this? How long do you think it took to film?
Oh, that's a good one. I actually have no idea how long movies take to film. I would say it took 2 years.
I'm gonna say 4 months.
4 months?
Yeah.
Oh Lord. Okay. Damn, a movie can be filmed in 4 months. That's insane.
Okay. Filming dates for Reign of Fire. It filmed from February to July of 2001. So how many months is that? February, March, April, May, June. 5 months. I was close.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how long movies take to film, so I'm glad you got that.
Usually not longer than a year.
Okay, yeah, I have no idea. Alrighty, well, I guess you get that off your knowledge of movies.
Well, now you know for next time.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, I guess we go into the spoiler section now, yeah?
We got to take our quick little break first, but then, yeah.
After that, let's do it. And we're back.
Let's get into it then.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. This is the spoiler section. If you don't want the movie spoiled, just don't listen.
All right, well, so...
All right, would just like to start by saying that everyone at that construction site should be fired.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't give a single shit if they never really, I'm assuming the kid's mom is like the boss or manager or owner or something like that. Someone high up, because everyone fucking knows who he is. But it doesn't matter who his mom is. As soon as a child enters a construction site, he needs a fucking hard hat and something reflective. Like, that's so dangerous, just letting him wander around like that.
I mean, that was like, what, maybe 1980 something?
No, it was 2008.
Oh, it was 2008? Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be fired and not be given that job ever again.
The movie was like released in 2002, but that opening scene is supposedly takes place in 2008.
But can I say, like, it doesn't feel like 2008 in that scene for some reason. I don't know what about it. It just makes me feel like it's like super old.
Yeah.
I don't know what about the filming, whether it's like the elevator or just like the type of people they have there or the surroundings that it went through or like the kid coming home with like a paper report.
Yeah.
It just felt really old.
Well, maybe they didn't know what 2008 was going to be like. They were guessing from 2002 standards. Well, actually 2001, because that's when they made the movie.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so, I still think 2001 might be a little too early for that, but yeah.
And freaking, because especially, well, when, because like, what, the when did the first iPhone come out? Like, that was 2007? So
yeah.
Theoretically, it like, people in 2008 would have already had like smartphones, but people in 2001 didn't know that.
Right.
They were still on their like BlackBerry, their razors.
Dude, those BlackBerries were the shit back in the day. But anyway, yeah, like that opening scene was just, it was interesting. I don't think I ever asked you, what did you think about the whole movie overall before we get into deeds?
I thought, did I not answer that? I'm pretty sure you did ask me.
Did you?
I don't know. But I liked it. Actually, maybe not. I don't think we talked about it at all. Actually, we got distracted by Harry Potter.
Yeah, I think we were going on that tangent. And then because like, I never answered how I would have thought about it either.
Well, in general, real quick, I thought it was pretty good.
Huh. Interesting.
What did you think?
I think it was just like a mid-tier movie. Nothing crazy special. But I mean, it was entertaining to watch literally one time. But I don't know. It wasn't my cup of tea, I guess, right. Which is fine. It was, I mean, the whole thing was action packed. It was cool, but like,
yeah, I think it's very much like just a full on action movie. Like the entire movie is like, there's an action scene and there's like 2 minutes of people talking and then the alarm sounds again. And then there's another action scene and then there's 2 minutes of talking and then another alarm and then more action. It's just like constantly something is happening.
Yeah, and like usually I like that, but for some reason something here just didn't click with me. And I don't exactly know what it is. Maybe it's just because I have all these questions of like, how do they know the difference between the alarms that were ringing in their compound versus versus the dragons, and that they were so scared of the dragons, but they're outside like on a castle top with like people everywhere. I don't know. It's just like a weird dynamic going on.
I thought about the alarm thing, but it didn't like bother me. And I don't know. I feel like as far as them just being out and about, like, yeah, they do go outside sometimes, but I feel like most of the scenes we see with people, they are underground. There's just like a few people up top to keep watch. And there's like the guy with the bird and he's like, hey, I see something and then lets people know.
Yeah. But then you see all these scenes with like people in the courtyard, like working, and I don't know. It's just like a weird thing for me. Cause like, remember when he like sprinted out of the compound after being with the kids, and then because one of the people there was going to take the car to like the crops and he came out and there were so many people out in the courtyard working. And I'm just like, well, I mean, I guess they're close enough to the compound to like run away underground.
Yeah. And I assume cause I guess I don't really know like the location of everything, but it seemed to me that, cause that like, where was that little, like tomato field that they had? Was that like close by, or was that like over a hill?
I think it was farther away over a hill.
I thought so too. And I thought that's also where the bird guy was. And like, obviously
the bird guy was in like the middle of their compound in like a watchtower.
Was he?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know where anything was.
Yeah. And I think that's like a problem though, don't you think? Where they have like all this stuff.
It would be, but I don't know. Like, for some reason, I just like, I didn't care. I was just like, it's just a fun dragon movie.
Okay. So you saw, okay. Yeah. So if you were having a lot of fun during it, sure. But for me, I don't know. Like, I like, whenever I talk about, like, when I've talked about other movies, I talk a lot about like the surroundings and like how it all fits together, like a puzzle piece. But this one, it was just more or less like, there's a castle, there's a crop field. And then there's like this little hill that the dragons always come over. We don't know what's on the other side of the hill, but something is there. It's that kind of thing. Like, we never really see the landscape except for that one time where they like did the 3D mapping. And that's really all we saw, like, over the computer.
All right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think as far as things that like did really bother me, that opening scene was probably the most bothersome in my opinion, because they just like, I don't know, I feel like, yeah, it's not enough for me to say, oh, this is like a bad movie, but they just like kept just like, and when that guy like tells the little kid to crawl through this mysterious hole,
god, unreal.
I'm like, come on, you're gonna send a child into this hole that you just discovered, you don't know what's in there? And then when he comes back out with shit all over his face, and his mom is like, go check out what happened, and they're like, but it's unsafe. And I'm like, yeah, so why the fuck did you send a kid in? Like, what's wrong with you?
Right. Like, a new cavern. They know something is down there. And they're like, yeah, kid, the hole's big enough for you. Go in there. And then the kid gets squirted on his face and his eyes are like bloodshot. Bro, at first I thought it was like almost like an alien movie, to where like he's now an egg of the dragon. I don't know exactly how I thought of that, but I thought the kid was going to die too, for sure.
I thought that he might be blind. I didn't think he was going to die, but I thought it would, especially with how red his eyes were. I was like, your eyes are fucked.
Yeah. Well, like, what is that even that the dragon squirted on him? Like, was that just snot or what?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's some sort of like irritant, but they never really talk about it.
I guess they do talk about the two different things, and there's, I forgot what they're called, the two different like pockets in the side of their mouth that they like squirt glands. And like, huh?
Glands.
Yeah, the glands. And like, if they do both of them together, they like ignite and make phosphorus.
Yeah, but I never got the idea that they could like just spit one of those glands.
Yeah, it seemed like
it would also, it would always just be both of them. And like, his face would have caught on fire if that happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I could think of, though, that would... Maybe.
Speaking of, though, I love that idea, because, and I'm pretty sure, like, obviously I don't know every dragon story in the history of forever, but to the best of my knowledge, most like dragon like ideas before this movie, it was just like, yeah, they just breathe fire, it's just like a thing that they do. But this one like made an effort to sort of explain it,
yeah,
which like I don't know, I really dig that. And that I feel like ever since the first time I saw this movie, that's just like been my headcanon of like, oh, if dragons existed, this is exactly how they would work, is you have like two chemicals that they create in their body, and when they mix together, it just ignites.
No, I'm 100% with you on that. I think their description of dragons were good. I think the description of like the world being taken over and like ruled by the dragons was good.
Yeah.
But then I think it was extremely weak. I'm just going to strip, like, I think it was extremely weak, the way they killed the head honcho dragon. I think that was probably one of the biggest letdowns in the whole movie for me. And it kind of left a weird taste in my mouth.
That's unfortunate. Because
it was just too easy.
It didn't feel easy at all to me.
Really? It was just like the buildup was so big. And then like all they had to do, like, how did they not think of that in 20 years of time?
Well, because they didn't even know until... until the freaking person told him, they're like, hey, we're pretty sure all the dragons that we've been killing have been female, which that's the one thing that I had obviously not the one thing, because the freaking people in the beginning, but another thing that I had a problem with is the idea that he was like, they're all female and there's one male, and if we kill the male, then we kill the species. And I'm like, one dude dragon for the entire planet? Like, that seems a bit extreme. I feel like if it was like, yeah, there's like different pockets, and like if we kill the male here, then England doesn't have any more dragons, and there might be like another male on like mainland Europe, and then another one in America, but like one dragon for the entire world seems a bit of a stretch to me.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. But I did like the idea of the like reverse kind of, I guess, birthing, because the female would lay the egg and the male has to like breathe his fire on the egg, which I think is cool. That, I don't know. Usually the dude finishes first and then the female lays something, but no,
well, that's how fish procreate. There's like a pile of eggs and then a dude swims over and like sperms onto them.
Interesting. I don't know much about fish.
Well, now you know.
Now I know. Yeah, I don't know. I think those are just like a few of my negatives already from the get-go. But granted, I think that there were a lot of action scenes that in there that were like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For instance, let's talk about the Archangels and like the helicopter maneuvers and all that
bro,
stuff.
Bro, the freaking thing where she's like, yeah, 17 seconds, that's their life expectancy. I was like, that is probably like, I know it's like not exciting because everyone is going to die. But like, I don't know, to me, that feels like one of the most badass lines in movie history.
In movie history? Oh, wow. I mean, I thought it was a cool line. And it's true. Like if they're diving like they do, like an arrow straight down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to be alive for more than 17 seconds. And I also appreciated in the movie that they made one of them die.
Yeah. Well,
within 17 seconds.
It felt like it made sense, but also I'm like, they could, like they had trackers on all of them. They could see that the guy was close to the ground. So even though they were like, oh, do you have a visual on the dragon? He's like, no, I don't see him yet. But like, even if he doesn't see the dragon, you can be like, hey, you're way too close. I don't care if you see the dragon, you need to pull your chute.
Yeah, you have like 1,000 feet left and you're descending at 200 feet per second.
Yeah.
You should probably pull that cord. Yeah.
And also it seemed kind of silly that they have this whole thing planned out that like, and it's super cool. And it almost reminded me of, you know, the Halo drop from the Godzilla movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It got very similar feels from this.
Except the helicopter survived the whole movie.
Yeah. But I did think it was also a little weird that they have this whole plan to like shoot nets at the dragons and get them on the ground, and then that doesn't work and he ends up killing it by just like shooting a big arrow at it from one of the tanks
from the ground. Yeah,
yeah.
Kinda, I'm like, lured it over a hill, and then
I'm like, why don't you just do that all the time? That seems way easier.
Yeah, true. I mean, they have to lure it somehow, and then it wasn't even the Archangels that did that.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the guy on the horse,
Quinn
on the horse. Yeah.
Yeah. And Matthew McConaughey's character is called Van Zam.
Okay.
I did think that, just talking about the dragons some more, I thought, first of all, they had really smart, the way that they used the CGI, because obviously there are like some models, especially with the dead dragons, like they built all of that. But the way that they use the CGI, because obviously this is early 2000s, they don't have the technology that we have today, but the dragons, other than maybe like one, there's only like one shot that I can think of, maybe two, where you could like really tell that they were fake, but they were so smart about their placement, and it was like always like they were obscured. It was like either in shadows or like it was smoky from all the fire, so you like can't really ever see them clearly, and there's not like, you never really get any wide shots like a helicopter shot or anything. It's always like every time you see a dragon, it's like from ground level. And I don't know, I feel like all of that kind of works together to make it so that even with this being a 2002 movie, I feel like the dragons looked amazing.
Yeah, no, I think they totally looked believable. I think the details with like, I think it was the main dragon, or, you know, one of the females, how it had like holes in its wings from, I guess, like,
yeah,
you know, being shot at and stuff like that. I think those are very good details.
Yeah. And just the way that they moved, it was very like almost like a leopard or something, like when they're on the ground and they have like their wings digging in, like their back is all hunched up, like they were very menacing. And I don't know, I feel like I love the way that the dragons were portrayed in this movie. And I think I don't know of anything even after that that did it better. Like Game of Thrones obviously is like what everyone talks about now in terms of like, ooh, look at these beautiful dragons. But like the dragons in Game of Thrones to me were never scary. Like they felt very majestic, and they were beautiful, and the rendering was gorgeous. Obviously they had way better like rendering technology now than they did back then, so like technically they look better, but they sort of, I don't know, they just act different. They don't act as wild and animalistic, and I feel like, I don't know, I almost like these dragons better.
Yeah, I can't really talk on that because I haven't seen the other movie, so.
Or like there's also Smaug from the Hobbit films. I didn't really like him that much. Although if you ever get the chance to watch the behind the scenes of Benedict Cumberbatch doing his performance for Smaug, you should watch that because it's very entertaining.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we can do like a quick podcast over that at one point. Who knows?
But I don't know. I mean, there's not like a whole lot of dragons. I mean, there was also a dragon in Harry Potter in the Goblet of Fire. Well, yeah, but like the biggest dragon was in Goblet of Fire, and that one, I guess that'd maybe be second place. But even then, it was just like, I don't know, the mixture of they were shot well, they were animated well, and the design of them and the way that they like moved around, I felt like these dragons were like pinnacle dragon.
Wow. I mean, those are some, you know, some serious feelings for these dragons. I can't say I reflect them the same as you do, but I can't say that I hated the CGI, because I didn't. I think it was great. No negatives there. The only thing that I like question about the dragons, since we're on the topic, is at one point in the movie when they go to the crops and they basically burn off the crops, and like that one dude gets snatched up with a dragon like flying through it. My question is, when they were driving away, they were like, basically they said that they want the ash off the field, not the humans.
Yeah.
And I'm just a bit confused, like the dragons eat ash as
yes fuel? I think so. Like they're, I would assume, like if we think about it from an animal perspective, and like what purpose would, like if we imagine dragons evolving to breathe fire, it makes sense a little bit to me that like everything that they eat, they're like, I just want this to be burnt. I want as much burn as possible. So they're just like, I'm going to sweep through a field, set everything on fire, and then once the fire's gone, I'll eat whatever's left. And that's just how they survive.
Damn. Well, then how are they starving? They can just burn whatever they want and eat it. There were tons of forests there, I'm sure.
But there weren't. Like, there were barely any trees in this movie. It was empty fields and burned out cities. Like, the idea is just that they've already burned the entire world down, so there's nothing left.
Yeah. Interesting. I think that was just like the decision making on that and the convincing that whoever thought of it had to do in order to be like, yeah, of course these dragons won't eat ash of whatever is in front of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that like it made sense in my head, because like, I don't know.
It's definitely a little weird, because like no actual animal could survive on ash, but you just sort of one of those things where you're just like, oh, well, I don't know. They're obviously eating something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, okay. So your coolest thing in the movie were the dragons. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, if I like think back over the whole movie, I think one of the things that stood out and I enjoyed the most were the armored cars.
Okay.
I think that
the ones with the hoses on them or the ones that Van Zandt brought?
No, fuck the Van Zandt ones. No, like the ones with the hoses on them, so that like if there's fire and if the dragons breathe fire, they have like water cannons and like the sides, like where the wheels are, there's like basically just jets of water like running down that. I think that was just a brilliant idea of human evolution of like, how do we fight these fire breathing dragons?
And they all had the super intense fire suits. Except for that one guy on the hose. For some reason, he didn't have a suit, which doesn't make any sense. And he was at the top,
Yeah. But I don't know. I think that was just like a really cool scene, how they like, they just, and it was quick too.
Yeah.
I just like the vehicles. I think that was just such a great idea. I think that was probably, for me, one of the more like believable things that happened, because like everything else was like, yeah, sure. But that, the trucks with the water hoses, like that was inventive because of the situation they're in. Like everything else was just kind of like, yeah, like, you know, we've seen that a couple of times in history, but that was like dedicated because of the dragons.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
I do also like, I thought it was just interesting that like they. All right. I think it's funny that they just like don't have the resources to make alcohol anymore. So they're all like cheersing with glasses of water.
Oh, true. But then Van Zam had like some booze.
He had a flask.
Yeah.
But then so they make you think that he is like, oh, he has a flask. Like obviously must have brought something from America or whatever. But then in the final scene before they go and fight the big dragon, he gives some to Quinn and he's like spits it out and he's like, wait, this is water.
Wait.
So he's also just been drinking water the whole time.
Wait, really? Oh, I thought I thought he was like making like a joke of like, wait, this isn't water. Or he was asking, he said like, this is water kind of thing. Like, this is your water? It's disgusting. And it's like really vodka or something crazy because they don't know what alcohol is.
I think he was expecting it to be alcohol and then was surprised that it was just water.
I'm dead. Okay, I didn't get that. That's funny. Okay, so what did you think of Van Zam as a character?
I thought he was exactly what he needed to be. I think like you see immediately when he rolls up and he like steps out of the tank and he's like, who's in charge? And then he like lifts his hands up and he's just like waiting for the guy to come. He's like chomping on his cigar.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I thought his intro to the colony, as well as like how he acted in the colony of like follow me kind of thing.
Yeah,
just perfect. And it fit like his visuals as well.
And you see him like he does get like taken down a peg because he's like this big tough guy and he's like, yeah, we're gonna go kill the dragon. And then he like beats up Quinn and takes a bunch of people with him, and then literally like 2 days later he comes back because it like Quinn tried to tell him. He was like, hey, if that big dragon catches you, he's gonna kill you, and then he's gonna track you guys back here and kill all of us. And that's pretty much exactly what happens. He goes out and then literally everyone that was with him just gets scorched. They have like a couple shots you can see like the tanks like start to melt from how hot it is.
Wow.
And
yeah,
and then he goes back and he tells Quinn, he's like, hey, you were right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean that happened in the movie twice where Quinn basically said something would happen or warned them that this could happen, was ignored, and then it happened. Yeah. So first,
oh, it was the same guy who was trying to leave and steal all the tomatoes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
First, it was that guy, the macho man, kind of like I would say he was the Van Zam of Quinn's colony. And then he got fucked. Quinn had to go out and save him. And then Van Zam comes.
Which was really good because, like, I don't know. I feel like on the one hand, I wanted to be like, fuck you, you didn't listen to me, so we're just going to let the dragon kill you. But you can tell that, like, Quinn cares about people more than that. So he's like, hey, I know that you're being an asshole and you weren't listening to me, but also I'm gonna come rescue you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And in that term, like, I think we can break down the movie into like four different sectors. The first sector would be Quinn as a kid. Second sector would be Quinn with the colony at the beginning, introduction. The second one would be Quinn with the Van Zam of his colony telling him not to go to like the, you know, the farms and whatever. That'd be sector one. Sector two is when Van Zam, or sector three, sorry, is when Van Zam comes and Quinn is like, hey, like, don't go fight the dragon. Shit will get fucked up. And then the fourth one is when Quinn finally accepts to go to England and fight the daddy dragon.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I would break down the movie in my head.
What did you think about them doing the little recreation of Star Wars for the kids?
I mean, I thought it was quite funny. And then the kid was like, wow, did you write that? And he was like, of course I did.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I also thought it was super cute. And I'm like wondering like what other movies that they do.
Right. Well, it's curious because like so much of this movie was focused on like protecting these kids, right?
Yeah.
And there's just so many different types of kids. But then if you look at the adults, there really aren't that many adults / women anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't know where all these kids came from. Like, did all the women die? Like, there's no way.
Well, I think, because there were still a few women. There are just more men. but also there could be more people there that we didn't see. And like, even like the I don't remember his name, but the kid that was like Quinn's adopted son. Remember, he even said, he's like, no, he's not my kid. As we were running out of London, I saw him, and his parents had died, so we just took him, and now we're so I feel like there's a good chance that a lot of those kids are just like kids that they picked up along the way,
or like orphan kids. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that, because they protected them like that.
Yeah,
because they were also like, while they reenacted Star Wars at the very end of that, when they were going to quote unquote pray, they were basically like, you know, keep both eyes on the sky.
Yeah.
And when you sleep, keep one eye on the sky.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, which I thought was great.
Yeah. Agree. Speaking of the like son character, I did think, I don't know, I feel like I could have done without him. I didn't really care about him at all. And especially there's like that whole scene where he's like, I'm going to go with Van Zan. I'm going to do something. And he's like, all right, fine, leave. And then like literally the next scene, he comes back and he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't want to leave anymore.
Yeah. And they like hugged and had like this big reunion and all that shit. And
I'm like, bro, you've been gone for like an hour.
Right. Yeah. I don't know why they put so much emphasis on this kid. And then at the very end, the kid was like, the little teenager became in charge of like the whole colony.
Yeah.
It was just all, that was just extremely confusing to me. Like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe he seemed a little too young. I feel like I'd have given it a few more years for sure. But you could tell that like he was like trying to like train him up to be the leader, because he's like, listen, I'm probably going to die, so you need to be ready to lead everyone once that happens.
I mean, that makes sense. But where are all the other men?
A lot of them died.
I mean, yeah, but there's no way that they sent every single man and then only...
Well, but also just because someone's older doesn't mean they're a better leader.
I mean, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But like you said, I think that his kid was just way too young to have it be believable that he's doing all this stuff. I don't know.
I thought it was freaking hilarious. That like battle axe that Van Zan just carries with him everywhere. And he always like, you'll see shots of him running and he'll like, he has a gun and then he'll put the gun away and grab his axe. And then he'll like run and then put the axe down and grab his gun again. I'm like, he just wants to run with his axe.
Yeah. That axe. I mean, it was just like a pillar of the movie throughout the whole thing. Honestly,
it was
like
so funny.
I don't know. He dies. And then
his death was super cheesy too.
Dude,
and he like fucking like launches himself off of that tower.
Yeah, I think his death was just boring. And then the way they killed the dragon was also boring. Those are just my opinions, because they're just so typical. Like, OK, he jumps off a building. He already knows he's going to die midair. And then the dragon just opens his mouth and chomps on him. And then, of course, like the axe gets dropped.
And you see, even in at the very end scene, he like still has the axe with him. I'm like, bruh, why is this axe so important?
Well, Quinn had the axe at the very end.
That's what I'm saying.
It was like passed on like a tribute. That was like the last thing we saw.
We have to remember him. We'll keep his axe.
Yeah, that was the last note that I said on here. I was like, ass was passed along. From Van Zan to Quinn, like what?
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, but I don't know. The jumping off the building with the axe, sure, it looked cool. But then all of a sudden, like the dragon just ate him. So it was like,
it was super cheesy for sure. And it was like very obvious green screen. I was like, that is probably the silliest moment I think in the whole movie.
Oh, silliest moment in the whole movie. Yeah, I think so.
But I don't know. I thought it was ridiculous, but at that point I'm just like, whatever.
Wait, so what made you think like, whatever, versus like the caiman that's like, no, this movie sucks because of this stupid CGI bullshit and all this stuff?
I think it makes up for it. I think in a bad movie, little things like that like pile on to the badness. But I feel like this is an overall good movie. So even when there's tiny little things like that, it's easier to pass over them because the rest of the movie is so good. Whereas if the entire movie was boring, or it was like, man, these dragons just look like shit every time they show up, or like the acting was bad. Like if there were like constant problems throughout the whole movie, then it would just be like, oh, here's another bone to throw on the pile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're like walking through a beautiful field and then you see one bone on the ground, you're like, oh, whatever.
I mean, I get what you mean, but I just don't think that this movie was like a continuous arc from like the start of the movie and arc to the end. I think it was very choppy the way that it was like filmed, and like it went from scene to scene, and then all of a sudden they're here, then they're there. To me, it didn't like make sense as like a timeline of.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I mean, because like I was saying earlier, like there really is like three or four action scenes in a row, and then that's just the whole movie. Like there's like the dragon attack at the tomato field, and that's one thing, and then they go back home, and then there's another alarm, and then oh no, there's all these American soldiers showing up at our gate, and then that's right. A whole thing, and then there's another scene, and then uh-oh, we have another dragon attack, and then there's that scene, and then they go back to the castle, and then oh, we're gonna go to London and fight the big dragon, and then there's that scene. And it's like, it's really just these like these little stories, like one after the other, and there's like not a whole lot of connective tissue, but there's like enough, I feel like, for me personally.
Damn, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, how it was like chopped up like that. But I just, the threads between like even them going to England the first time with like all the tanks and the troops, like we literally see them leave and then we see them at the face of England not being able to go through London. And then they all just die.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Like that's all we see. That's like done.
But that also sets up later, because like you expect like Van Zandt being this huge like macho man. He's like, yeah, whatever. But he like he learns his lesson, and when they go back later with Quinn and I can't remember the helicopter pilot's name.
Yeah, I can't either.
She has one. But hold on, Alex. It's Alex.
Alex. Yes.
But they go back to London, and with the first time when Van Zandt showed up to the gate, he's like, look, I'm gonna make this simple. I lead, you follow. But then when they go to London, now that he's like been tossed on his ass and all of his men are dead, they get there and he looks at Quinn and he's like, okay, this time you lead and we follow.
Right. And I like that part. It was like the switch of the macho man to a team player. Finally. Yeah.
We did. Another thing we haven't even talked about is Quinn's best friend, Creedy, played by Gerard Butler. I thought he was really fun. He didn't, I guess, really do that much. He was kind of just on the side the whole time, but he was like, he was a fun friend character.
I'm right there with you. I think that he was portrayed as a very good best friend.
Yeah.
And then I think they did a good enough job of them portraying him like that, that when he does die,
yeah,
it kind of sticks with you. Like, oh man, like his best friend just died.
Yeah.
And to save the colony too.
Right. Well, because he went out to like try and see if he could rescue someone else or something, and then like as he was leaving, the dragon did another flyover, and so he just like quickly closed the door so that the fire couldn't get down into the basement.
Yeah. And it was like super quick too, like he just like slammed that the front door, and then like you could like hear the fire coming, and then he just slammed the front door, and then he was dead.
Yeah,
so it was like a valiant like hero's death, basically. He's going to Valhalla for sure. I don't know. But yeah, I think they did enough work for Creedy to have that be an impact on us. And like, we could also tell that it did a number on Quinn.
Yeah. Because he tried to like, he's obviously, we like see him getting emotional and like trying to pound on the door. And then even after he like tries to calm himself down and he's like, no, I can't be freaking out in front of all the children. And he goes back and he tries to do the prayer. And then even then he can't finish it because he's so broken up.
Yeah. And then that other person finishes for him.
Yeah.
What did you think about the second time they meet, they go to England to fight and kill the daddy dragon? That's what I call him, daddy dragon. And
they're in England the whole time.
Oh, well, the city, London, sorry.
Yeah.
And they basically drive there, and then they see all like those female dragons everywhere, and then they start all flying up, and then the daddy dragon comes and like snatches one out of the sky and eats it.
Yeah. And they're like, so then they really again are starving.
Then it begs the question, like, why didn't he like grab it, throw it down, fucking breathe fire on that shit, and then eat the coals or whatever.
Well, man, dragons are already super hot, so you don't need to burn them.
You think so? Wait, how are they hot? They don't have I don't know, I'm just making stuff up. Oh, I was about to say, I was like, they have the glands.
They got the glands.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
And all like, but they also, just like easily made it into like the center of like the town.
I think that the shot of the big dragon eating the girl dragon, I feel like the size difference in that shot is like way bigger than it like previously. Yeah. Like I feel like when you compare their actual fight with the male dragon to their previous fight with one of the female dragons, the male dragon's like maybe like 50% bigger, maybe twice as big at like tops. But they made it seem in that shot of Parliament, they made it seem like he was like 10 times bigger than all the females.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, like when they killed that female dragon and then Quinn was next to it, like I don't know what he was doing. He like went into her womb and like pulled out a dragon egg, I guess.
Yeah.
But then like when he blew up the big daddy dragon, it wasn't that big of a difference. I honestly think it was like almost 1.2x like
the
woman dragon size.
He was like really not that much bigger.
No.
But I don't know.
I mean, yeah, in that London scene, it looked like the female dragon just fit in his mouth like perfectly.
Yeah, he was like a snack.
Yeah. I don't know. A few things here and there that are questionable, but they just wanted him to look more badass, I guess.
For sure. But yeah, there's definitely like there are problems with this movie, but there's problems with every movie. So
yeah.
I feel like the problems in this movie are not that bad of problems, in my opinion.
That's interesting. Okay, well, in that case, what did you think of Magic Hour? Between Dusk and Dawn, where the light is kind of dwindling away, and that's like the time where the dragons are the weakest.
Kind of a cool idea. I'd love to like figure out. Well, I mean, I guess he told the story, but like, did he just like come up with that idea out of his imagination, or like how did he figure out? I guess they never say like how many dragons they've killed. I'm assuming it's a reasonable number considering they have like a whole method of trapping and killing them. But that seems like something that like you would definitely need to test that theory a few times.
I don't know how they came across that, but I mean, they did show it also from the dragons, from Daddy Dragon's perspective at one point.
Yeah, and you see it's like shaky and there's like a weird like white outline around everything.
Yeah, but quite honestly, like it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Like he wasn't as weak as I thought he would be.
Yeah.
Because they made such a big deal of like this magic hour and it's a time to strike and all that stuff.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, when you're dealing with something that strong, I guess like even if it's a small advantage, you have to take what you can get.
That's true. Yeah, I just think that was another good little thing that they put in there of like the dragon. They did focus a lot on these dragons. Like,
yeah, they tried a lot to make like to separate these dragons from like Aragorn or something like that. Like there's no magical feature of these dragons.
No,
everything nothing. Was explained.
Right. Logically, which was nice for once.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was asking, did you have anything else? Because that's all I got.
Well, I just want to bring up how Daddy Dragon dies, and it's with like dynamite spear tip arrow.
It was a C4 with what was it? Some chemical on it.
Okay. I think that they should have, if they were really going to kill the dragon with that, they should have just demolished a part of the dragon, like had like his skull ripped in half, like dripping blood or something like that. Because like they shot him in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then he looked completely fine, but just dead.
That makes sense to me.
Really? Wait, how?
Well, because obviously they're like, they've shown many times, like they're like firing freaking machine guns at the dragons and it doesn't do anything. So obviously like their scales are super, super strong.
Yeah, but that's the exterior.
Right. So I'm saying like if you blow up the inside, it makes sense that it would damage all of its inside, but it's still not going to break through the skin because the skin is so tough.
I don't know. I feel like whenever you have a creature like that, it's built so that it like has that armor on the outside. But that doesn't mean that if something blows up on the inside, that the armor would also, you know what I'm saying? I feel like armor is like a one-way shield. if something happens on the inside, like it blows up. Like if you have a tank, right?
Well, think about like real armor. Like if I had a bulletproof vest on, it doesn't matter if you shoot the bulletproof vest from the outside or the inside, it's still bulletproof.
Right. But I'm saying like a tank, right? A tank is meant to deflect from the outside. Now, if you go on the inside and you drop a nade in there, it will actually blow like the top off the tank just because it's not meant for that type of like protection from the inside out.
Would it though? I feel like, I don't know, I've never seen an actual tank blow up, but from every movie that I've seen where they drop a grenade into a tank, the tank doesn't take any damage. It's just everyone inside dies.
Well, no, yeah, usually like, I mean, I've seen it in like World War II documentaries where like the top, like the cannon part of the tank, it just blows off the hinges because like it's set on there and then there's armor around it to deflect, but it's not meant for like something on the inside going out kind of thing. But I mean, I guess I do understand what you're saying, and fucking who knows how a dragon shit is built. But I just, I wish that they would have like really fucking done some work on that dragon like they did with like the other one. Like the spear went straight through the dragon's fucking skull.
Yeah.
And they kind of showed, I mean, the spear went through it, right?
I don't know what happened to the spear, but I know that when the dragon, because it was like flying when he shot it, and then when she crashed, it looked like when she hit the ground, one of her wings broke.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That was just like another one of those things of like, that the daddy dragon dying could have been a little cooler.
I think it was thermite. It was C4 and thermite, I'm going to say.
Oh, C4 and thermite. Yeah. Yeah. I just think they could have done it like in a more epic way somehow. But you know, it is what it is. Yeah. That's really it. But yeah, no, I have nothing else because we already talked about the axe and that being like the last thing. But then I did have a question of like, sure, they killed Daddy Dragon, but then how many years after that did it take them to slay all like the lady dragons that were there?
Yeah, I don't know. They like briefly talk about it at the end. They're like, oh, it's been a couple months since we seen the last one. But
right.
they don't say how long it's been since then.
I mean, it couldn't have been that long because that kid was still a kid. You know?
Yeah, so I'd say maybe a year or two at most.
And then all of a sudden they're like, and then all of a sudden they're like super dragon killers.
Well, I'd imagine the rest of them just starved off and they can't reproduce.
Maybe, but they start eating each other. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that would also be is if the dragons start eating each other, then that will also reduce their numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't have any more notes. I think we went through the whole thing. I think like that, you know, that four quarter of the whole movie dollar summary was pretty good.
Well, I think Elena is about to walk through the door, but we'll go ahead and get started with trivia, and then she'll interrupt us.
Let's do it.
The first one here says that... Oh, yep, there it is.
There she is. Hello. Lord have mercy.
keeping that in. Okay, where was I? The trailer claimed that the film was set in 2084, but the movie itself gives the date as 2020.
Wait, what? So the trailer lied to us?
Yeah.
No chance. That's fucked up.
That's kind of funny. I think that whoever, like, because usually, like, with bigger movies, the company who makes the movie trailer isn't the same as the people making the movie. And so sometimes they'll just, like, send them like a brief description and then some shots to work with. And so the people at the trailer company were probably like, fuck, I don't know. I guess it's in the future. Let's just say 2084.
Like shrugs. Little, yeah. Sounds like a good thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This says here, one of the kids at the castle is played by Jack Gleason, who would later become famous for his portrayal as Joffrey Baratheon in Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
I believe he was also briefly in one of the Nolan Batman movies. I don't remember if it's Batman Begins or The Dark Knight. I think it's Batman Begins. But yeah, he just cute little kid and then later becomes one of the most evil characters on television.
Oh, God. I wonder like if that does something to like the kid's reputation in real life.
Oh, Jack Gleason, like, retired from acting after Game of Thrones because he kept like people kept like sending him like hateful letters and stuff like that.
Jesus.
Like people are shitty.
People just don't understand that actors are literally acting. Like don't take it to heart. Unreal.
Matthew McConaughey insisted that the cast and crew call him Van Zan even when not filming.
Stay in character?
I guess so.
Wow. I enjoy when actors do that.
I think sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, true.
Also, Matthew McConaughey wrote in his 2020 book, Green Lights, that before filming started, he received a letter from a Hollywood executive that read, "If in fact it is true that you have shaved your head, this would be a tragedy, a major misstep, and an act that may bring you very bad karma."
Wait, what? Why?
I don't know. He didn't go into specifics, but he mentioned that someone was very upset with him for shaving his head for this movie.
Do you think that the person was like trying to say that's something that you only do for cancer patients or something like that?
No, I think they just thought like it's a bad career move. Like you don't look good with no hair and it's going to ruin your acting career or something like
that. What? Dude, he did something that most actors would never do. That makes him more like pliable as an actor.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And our last piece of trivia here, Christian Bale originally planned to be really skinny for the film, figuring that in a post-apocalyptic landscape, food wouldn't be so readily available, so most people would lose drastic amounts of weight. But when he showed up for filming and saw how bulked up Matthew McConaughey had gotten, he had to change his mind and hit the gym. Considering that the two have an intense fight scene in the film, Bale reckoned that it would look more evenly matched and therefore more realistic if the two men had similar builds.
Wow. Wait, so you're saying that he started the movie at the very beginning as super skinny, and then all of a sudden he'd just turn out to be jacked again?
Well, it was before filming had started, so like you wouldn't be able to see a difference in the movie. But yeah, he like showed up to set and he was like, yeah, we're gonna be all skinny because there's no food. And right. Then he saw Matthew McConaughey and he had like a bunch of muscles and he was like, oh fuck, I guess I gotta go get some muscles now.
Bro, you can't tell me that actors don't use fucking steroids. Like there's no way.
I'm sure some of them do. I don't wanna like make any accusations on Christian Bale, but
no, I'm just saying like in general, you know, like to have that type of crazy body change, like they have to be taking supplements. There's no way. People do that stuff for a living and don't look like that.
Yeah.
It's just unreal. But good for them. Good for him for making that decision and switching it up for the movie.
Yeah. And that is all of our trivia.
That was some good trivia there. Yeah.
I believe that means it's time to get wrecked.
It is. It is that time. I'll go first this time.
Yeah, go for it.
I whenever I think of like things to say for get wrecked, I always think of like, hey, Luca, what are you doing in life? But like everything that pertains to me probably doesn't pertain anywhere else. As to like, whether it's skiing tips or like skiing mountains that are like, you know, you should go check it out kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So this is going to be a very broad range and sure, some people might not agree, but a great recommendation is for everyone to go get that third booster COVID shot, especially before the holidays. If you're going to be traveling and whatnot, it might be good for you to hit that up so that you're extra strengthened if you're going somewhere for the holidays and seeing people.
That's a good recommendation.
Yep.
My recommendation is Dots Homestyle Pretzels.
What?
If you check your local supermarket, if you can find some Dots Homestyle Pretzels, that shit will change your life. They're so good. Especially the ones I've been snacking on are honey mustard flavored.
Whoa.
To die for. They're so good.
Really? That just honey mustard as dots does not sound appealing to me for some reason.
Do you not like honey mustard?
I do, but on pretzels?
I'm telling you, they're real good.
Interesting. Okay. Well, should I have to keep my eye open for that? Dots Homestyle Pretzels. Good tip. Good tip there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty,
so,
well,
for our audience, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of those are in the description. And Luca, why don't you tell them what kind of messages they can send us?
Quite honestly, you guys can send us any message ranging from like, hey, we like your podcast, to I have a recommendation for you, to I just like listening to you here and there, and I'm excited for the next one to come out. Honestly, anything is welcome. If you have any good recommendations, if you have any good get wrecked recommendations, you know, or even just letting us know like your thoughts on the podcast, that, you know, there's someone out there that you invited to the podcast and they also enjoyed it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Good. Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.